Turn to Matthew 24. I'm challenged when I see people that I've known for many years. Go through shaking and stand. And I think that the journey God has us on, sometimes we don't know the value or the strength in each other until something really shakes. And we don't know what's going on inside, but we observe something solid. And I think that because of that, because we don't really know the heart of one another, many times we don't give credibility to what God's done and what He continues to do. And I fear that sometimes we are going to miss out because our eyes are on the wrong place and we kind of lose hope because things aren't working out quite like what we figured they would. And something begins to happen in our lives. Things begin to break down. And then rather than be convinced that everything would be shaken around me and I will not turn back, I too have been very close to Russell, and I've just been a few days with him a few weekends ago. And we talked about this, that, you know, what do you see? What's happening? And he's very conscious that there are people that would like to see him out of the picture. And that, but you can't have that affect you. There has to be an expectation that God is doing something and He's going to do it in spite of what anybody's going to say or do. God's going to have His way. So the end of the matter is, if it's settled in our heart that God's going to have His way, He is going to have a people at the end of this age reigning, kings and priests, have put on the mind of Christ, and they've done it perfectly. We were talking recently, I was down in Belize with Trades for Life, talking to one of the instructors down there, and he said, it's amazing how us believers, we think that just because we have a fishing rod and a boat, that we're fishermen, or that we have an understanding of the end times, and we have the understanding of sonship, that we have that understanding. And God's given us the tools, the relationships, the place to live this life out. That we have all these tools now. We have all the tools, therefore we're going to make it. Because we have all the tools. But not necessarily the case. My friend Don over here likes to fish. He has a fishing rod, he has all the tools, but right now he's not fishing. How much of what you have in God sits dormant and goes to waste? Why? Why doesn't this work? What is it in our lives that we have this lively hope and we sit? What's it going to take? We heard Brother Buddy exhorting us to lay hold of this thing. Lay hold of this hope that lies ahead. And what do you do if you have this hope? There's something about he that has this hope, he purifies himself. Yeah. Well, do you have hope? What are you doing with it? Is it sitting dormant and going to waste? Why would you leave it set dormant? If you knew you had a window of opportunity, 2 days, to get this hope working toward you were purifying yourself because of this lively hope in you. If you had 2 days to go fishing and then the season closed, you'd go do something about it, wouldn't you? What is it that causes us to sit still and do nothing? What is it that allows us to be so casual about our relationship with the Lord? What is it? I'm going to read you something. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Verse 42. Watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Oh, really? You mean He may not come today? Maybe not this week. So I'll just keep living my life because I got time. I got time. So we'll just carry on like we always have because we got time. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched, but not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Is that true? Is that really true? Is he going to come when you don't expect him? That's kind of what it's indicating here. That he's going to come when you're not expecting him. Which means we're probably going to be in trouble. If you're not ready. So if he's coming in an hour that you're not expecting, if you're expecting him, you're ready. No problem. But if he comes when you're not expecting him, there's going to be some problems. And we'll see what... One thing about this scripture, it's alive. It really is. This word is alive. It has the inspiration of God. For the man of God, this is alive. Paul said something to Timothy like, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, that the man of God, this is talking about the man, for the man of God here, we're not talking about the world, but so that the man of God, and the next word is, so that the man of God may be perfect. There's something about this inspired word to the man of God. It's going to do something for you. So when you read this, this should wake you up. If you're a man, this will wake you up if you're a man of God. If you're not interested in being a man of God, then this, you can read this and it'll just go right over your head and we'll go on with our life like we so easily do, and go to work in the morning and we just kind of keep food on the table and gas in the gas tank. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord made him ruler of his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say to you, he'll make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, notice he doesn't say it with his mouth. I've never said with my mouth, oh, the Lord is delaying his coming. I think I'll just take care of myself today and live in the flesh. Has anybody ever said that? He doesn't say here. But if the servant says with his mouth, no, it's in his heart. If in his heart he's saying, my Lord delays his coming. He shall begin to smite his fellow servants. What? Would anybody smite his fellow servant? This word smite just means to give the back of the hand. Just kind of, poof, who are you? You're not important. Just kind of get out of my way. You bother me. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are speaking into my life? You don't understand me. You don't understand my situation. That's the smiting. It's the evil servant that says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, that puts down and separates one another. That's why it's not until sometime we have difficulties and shakings that also we realize how important people are to us. It's when things are going so good, the Lord delays his coming, no big deal, nothing's happening, that we get so casual and we brush one another off as if it doesn't matter. Who do you think you are speaking to me like this? It's amazing, the students we get at Trades for Life, we get this huge variety. Most are just intent on, they have, when we ask them at the end of the 6 weeks, what'd you get? What'd you learn? The first year it happened, we were expecting him, I learned how to fix a car, I learned how to make a small engine work. So we expected all these kind of answers. One of them got up and he said, this is what I got from this year. I got hope. See, I have hope. The guy met the Lord. He learned to trade. He got hope. There was a reason to live. Is that the kind of message we... Now, it's one thing to go down. I'll go down there to police and I'm going to do all this. What about here? Do you have hope? If you have hope, you're expecting something to happen today. You're expecting God to do something today. But if your heart, you're saying, my Lord delays his coming, you won't be ministering hope to one another. Right. You know what you'll be doing? Oh, you're not that important. Yes. Who do you think you are? I know what I'm doing. know, come on, we're trying to fix this and fix that. And we end up smiting one another. Because in our heart, we've said, ah, no big deal, nothing's happening today. But to the one that really believes that, treats each other differently. The opposite of smiting with the back of the hand is where you bless with the palm of your hand. Where you touch, where you minister to, rather than take away from. We're either adding value to one another or we're taking away value. There's nothing neutral. I can't just be in neutral with you. I'm either going to either appreciate and bless you or I'm going to take away from you. And it all has to do with how I'm viewing my Lord's return in my heart. How close is he? What's he got for me? So we know shaking is coming. We know this world is shaking like it probably never has. And those that lived during World War II would probably say, no, not really. It probably shook like this before. During the Crusades, it probably shook like this before. I don't know. But one thing, it's shaking. Our Lord is not delaying his coming. So he'll begin to smite with the back of his hand rather than bless with the palm of his hand. And to eat and drink with the drunken. Just totally self-absorbed. It's all about what pleases me. All about what pleases me. So, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Wow, play actors. Is it possible? Is it possible that after having this great revelation, this great calling, that we could be hypocrites in the midst? I'm not so concerned about you being a hypocrite out there, or if there might be some hypocrites in this crowd. Do you know what I'm concerned about? There might be a hypocrite inside of here, that there's some play acting going on. Why would I play act? Well, because it gives me something to get people to think that I'm something I'm not. Because then you're not accountable. Nobody can say, John, you're this way. No, because I have this facade. And so that's why when he comes and he finds me saying in my heart, my Lord delays his coming, he says, he's a play actor. Therefore, I'll just send him with the play actors because that's what he is. We can't be genuine with the Lord and treat one another with disregard. So he goes on, and then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Then, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil. The wise took oil in their lamps. The bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. At midnight, there was a cry, bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Why couldn't it happen when it was daylight and we were all rested and ready to go? Why does the call come when you're not ready? Some of the darkest, the most difficult trials in your life, did they come when you were all, you had warning ahead of time and you was ready? Virginia, did your test come when you was all ready? When you heard the word, leaving Partridge, you guys, you had no warning. It was like, boom. It's because it was midnight. And the bridegroom says, I'm coming. Now go out to meet him. The call doesn't come when we're comfortable, when our stomachs are full from a nice breakfast and the sun is just coming up. The call comes at midnight. If you don't have this hope, if you don't have this confidence, this steadfastness in the Lord, we'll wait until the time's a little more convenient. And then we get negative and bitter because it didn't happen at a good time. Granddaughter Heidi asked Jewel the other day. She said, so is this sickness chosen for me, or was I chosen for this sickness? That's a good question from an 8-year-old. And so Jewel said, well, I think God chooses us for situations so he can be strong for us. Well, she said, so where does it come from? Does God or Satan make it this way? So Jewel said, well, she got out her phone and she said, let me Google it. Well, she told Heidi she's going to Google it. So Jewel sends me a text, "Dad, this is what Heidi said." So I sent back a little note and I said, "It all started because of Adam and Eve in the garden. God gave Adam and Eve everything they needed, and they weren't content. So Satan offered them something else. And they decided God didn't give them everything they needed or what they wanted. So then they took what Satan wanted. And because of that now, we're all under a curse because of what Adam and Eve did. So that's why there's sickness in the earth." So Jewel told her that, and she said, "Oh, no, now I hate the story of Adam and Eve." But the next morning, she wrote a little in her journal. She said, "Today, I've decided I am not going to be like Adam and Eve. I'm going to be content with what God gave me." 8-year-old. God, what's wrong with me? What's so hard? Why do I feel cheated and gypped sometime when it's dark and there's a difficulty? And I feel like God didn't give me enough warning ahead of time. Well, it's because shaking never comes when you're quite expecting. Earthquakes always take people by surprise. Buildings fall, everybody's surprised. There's no scientist can say, "Oh, there's a little warning, maybe it's going to come, it's gonna, a big one's going to come." Nothing happens, and all of a sudden, boom, there's this big earthquake. So here we have it. At midnight, a cry was made. "He's coming, go meet him. No time for coffee, no time for breakfast, just go, go meet him. Are you ready?" Because it doesn't seem like he gives us much time. Because when some went to get some more oil, the bridegroom came and those that were with him, and they went into the door and boom, closed the door, it's done. If you're not expecting him, you would never expect the door to be shut that quick. You got time, you see, because we've had time. Just because we've had time to this point doesn't guarantee us time tomorrow. Right. So we've had time today. That time may be over tonight. The Lord is coming for his people. There's going to be a change. There's going to be a sealing. It's going to happen to a people that are ready to go in. Let's not allow ourselves to get so casual about this calling that we go on thinking that, well, it's been this way for how many years now? And since we're not all ready yet, why it can't happen yet? Because, well, we're not all ready yet. Oh, you want to bet? You don't know who's ready. There just might be some going ahead of us. That little story about a wedding that people had an invitation to, and the good master said, "Okay," to his servants, "go out and tell those that are bidden to come." And so he went and told those that are bidden. They had the call. They had the invitation. They had the original invitation. There's going to be a wedding. Now is the time to come. You've been given advance notice. You know it's coming. So here they get the call. "The wedding is now. Come in. Everything is ready." Boy, I wasn't expecting it today. I'm not quite ready. I got fill in the blank. What's yours? What's yours? Do you have undone things? You have anything in your life that's undone that you want to quick get ready before you check out and get in? And he called them and they wouldn't come. And they went back, the servants went back and said, "Hey, there, one has bought a cow, one got married, and one bought some land, and they're just too busy. They're all occupied with everything else." Why were they occupied? Well, they wasn't conscious. They didn't give diligence to make their calling and election sure. They weren't listening for the call. They were busy being about their own things. So he sent people out. He sent his servants back out, and he said, "Just go out in the highways," and in this distant, basically, he said, just invite whoever you see. Just tell them, "Look, there's a big wedding. Come on in. This wedding will be furnished with guests." And so a bunch came, and there was still more room. And he went out, and you know, he never went back a second time to those that had the invitation. Puts a little bit of concern in my heart. It's like when the call comes, it may just come just once. So he said, he went out and he said, "Now go back out there," and he said, "compel them to come. Get them by the hand and drag them in, because this feast is going to be full. Every seat is going to be full. There's going to be a people coming in." He said, "Bring them in. Just bring them in." And I don't know what that's going to look like. But while they're all being compelled to come in, those that had the first invitations, always checking out his cow. Good cow. Checking out his land. Well, this is a good piece of land. This is going to really work out well. Another guy getting married. Boy, this is going to be this is an ideal situation. Meanwhile, something's going on behind the door that you'll never have a chance to again. Let's not get so comfortable in our calling. We have a hope. And if that hope is really alive in you, you will not settle. You will not allow yourself to make peace with the contemporary attitude that, well, we've been going on this thing for so long and I don't see anybody changed. Everybody's getting older and we've lost some great people. Mm-hmm. So maybe, well, we'll just keep kind of plugging away here and never get so concerned about this hope that I have, this expectation that I have that will drive me, to purify myself before the Lord. Let the Lord work His work in me. He's given us His DNA. It's in there. It's there. He has the seed there. He's scratched it. He's soaked it. It's ready. It should be sprouting, but it's laying dormant in a jar someplace. And we're proud because we have this seed now, and we have the calling. But we'll end up, if we're not careful, like the one that said, well, he's just delaying. I know I'm called. But he's just delaying. But I know I'm called, so therefore I'll be there. Really? Maybe you won't. If you don't give all diligence to make this calling and election sure, we must be faithful to apprehend this thing that God apprehended us for. I love that line. I tell you what, He got a hold of us. He got a hold of us. And we got a hold of Him. And now He's saying, okay, let me go. Oh, so will you let Him go? Or will you hold on with everything you've got? I didn't get to meet the Lord when I was 4 and innocent. I was not 4 and not innocent. But I tell you what, I know what happens when the presence of God comes into life. I know what happens. I didn't get saved so I wouldn't go to hell. I got saved and I came out of hell. I know what the life of Jesus Christ does in your life. Why would I throw it away? Why would I say, oh my goodness, I'm so tired. Oh, we've heard this word for so many years and this never happened yet. Why would I say my Lord delays His coming? Somehow, it slowly creeps in over time, this casualness. Saints, let's be diligent. Make this calling and election sure. Let's not waste a moment. You'll know you're wasting time if you can casually brush off people around you. If they're not important. I tell you, the littlest child that was here today, very important. Do you care? If you don't care, you'll brush each other off. Just kind of be casual with one another. A man by the name of Gil Strickland wrote a book. He was a military chaplain. He wrote a book on marketplace chaplaincy. And one of the things he talked about was how God uses people. And he said, since God is a God who cares, ultimately, He will never use a man who doesn't. So do you care? I mean, do you really care about the people you're around? Does it matter to you? If it doesn't matter, why not? It probably doesn't matter that the Lord has redeemed you and you have been brought out of such darkness into such marvelous light. You've tasted of a freedom. You have a King who broods over you, who has extended His grace and His mercy, given you truth, given you life, eternal life, and a hope that goes beyond the veil. Eternally, like that cannot be taken away. Let's not lose it. Let's not let it casually slip away. And let God show us where we really are so that in this day we can make correction where correction needs to be made. And not just keep going our way as if we got her down. We're in the right context. We're in the right place. We're hearing the right word. In this very context, I could be smiting and drinking and eating with the drunken and find myself ultimately in the place with the hypocrites, with the play actors. Dear God, Help us. It's possible with His Spirit. This life can change us and put us back on track to where the reality is nothing can shake us. A call in the middle of the night. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Oh, really? We're ready to go. Just when you think you can't go anymore, the Spirit of God will carry you and He'll keep you. But listen to His voice today. And don't let your heart get hard because of the longness of the way or the tiredness of the body. Let's keep it current. Keep it alive so God can finish this great call. He will have a people. Don't waste your invitation.